The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 29. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, when men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this." He says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by man, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. You who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall a potter be regarded as a clay, that a thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus, with some of the scribes who had come down from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines and the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'A man tells his father or mother, whatever you would gain from me is korban, that is, given to God, and you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God. By your tradition you have handed down, and many such things do you do.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson in the great stage play, Fiddler on the Roof. The question is asked, where would we be without tradition? Tradition is not a bad thing. Sometimes we as Lutherans look at tradition as, well, that's Catholic tradition, we can't do that, or, well, whatever, we don't look at tradition always as having much value, but it helps us to apply God's law in a very fruitful way. Now, tradition's bad when it contradicts Scripture. When tradition becomes more important than the Word of God. We all know the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. What the Jews were doing is they had something called Korban, which means it was set aside for the use of God. But if your parents were in need, you could not use that money. The Bible said, take care of your parents. The Bible never set up this idea of set aside money for future use for the temple. So a man-made tradition was voiding a scriptural mandate. They were nullifying Scripture by their own looking at the needs of the day. This is what we need to do, therefore we'll do it. Now, how do we avoid the error of the Pharisees? Simply, we don't nullify the Word of God by traditions, by any tradition that's been handed down to us, no matter how long we've had it. But it also implies a knowledge of Scripture. Know your Scripture, and it's harder to be led astray. Take nothing for granted when it comes to the Scriptures. Be like the Bereans. I love the Bereans in the New Testament. They're my favorite little city, although they don't even get a letter written to them. This is what's said of the Bereans. The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness, and here's the key part. Examine the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true, and as a result, many of them believed. We don't discount traditions. Hey, how many of you remember your New Year's Eve traditions, or your resolutions, I should say? You remember them? I do, because I've had the same five for the last 5-6 years. And you know what? At the rate I'm going, you think I'm going to meet them? No. Susan's even nodding. No, not going to happen. The reason I bring that up is you still got about 4 months to try to keep them. But it's a traditional thing that we do. In a book, Resolutions Made by Disciples of Christ, it said any resolution, regardless of time of year, should reflect a continuing desire to be what he wants us to be, to go where he wants us to go, and to do what he wants us to do. What is the goal of a Christian life? It's to belong to God and to do what God wills us to do. And on this side of eternity, nobody meets the definition of perfection. We strive for it. We try to conform our lives to get as close to it as we can, but we are not going to quite make it. And there are some churches that actually teach you can become perfect on earth. A very famous one driving into Detroit up I-75. It's the Perfection Church. You too can be perfect. And I'm looking going, come on, Lord, one lightning strike. You know, is that really too much to ask? But there are churches that actually teach perfection. Well, you know what? Look in the mirror, see how perfect you are. I know when I look in the mirror what I see as well. The ones that think they can be perfect on earth, like the Pharisees, they always point that superiority finger to themselves, that I'm superior than you. Jesus dealt with that kind of arrogance all the time. The Pharisees and the scribes come from Jerusalem to challenge him. They want to destroy his credibility, and they want to elevate themselves in the eyes of the people. Well, how do we relate our questions? Let's try it. We can relate to questions with our own questions itself, explaining that disciples were beginning to understand the ways of God, or to be accepted by God was through repentance, then conforming their lives to what God expected. The Pharisees, on the other hand, said that the only way God would accept you is if you were good enough first and had kept the law. The question, you know, how do we relate to this? We've got to be careful that we don't get into that trap. We've got to be good enough for God to accept us. He accepts us the way we are, and he forgives us, and then he asks us to conform our lives to his. The Pharisees were that society's elites. I was reading about elites, where that term came from. What an arrogant term. When somebody refers to these are the elites of society, it means that they know something that you don't, and they know what's better for you than you yourself know. So you're, to put it in simple English, you're too stupid to know what's good for you. So you got to give it up to the elites. Maybe I'm just too much of an American to take that one. All right, but that was the Pharisees. They knew what was going on, and the people were scum. They couldn't keep the law if they tried, and the Pharisees looked down on everybody. So good old narcissism, that's the term for it. It's alive and well in the 21st century as it was back in the first century. And no one at that time could challenge the religious authority of the Pharisees because their whole thing was, don't touch my power. Jesus came in and upset that apple cart. Jesus comes in and says to the Pharisees, you're not the elite. You're wrong. You've corrupted my scripture. The Pharisees, by the way, did not care one iota that the disciples were eating with unwashed hands. They were trying to use it as a way to trap Jesus. But Jesus is always the target of an unbelieving, immoral world. You have that name Jesus on you, however that is, whether it's in speech or actions, that's a target for society as a whole. They don't even want the name of Jesus spoken in sports. If I was to put a cross on the back of my helmet in football, I would be banned. But I could put other stuff on there. It's just my pet peeve. If I can, they can make a public statement, why can't I by putting a cross on my helmet? I don't need to get on that subject because blood pressure will go up and then bad things can happen. All right. And we should not be surprised when we're confronted by society as a whole. But a warning here, don't be overzealous in Christianity, meaning you become too legalistic. I recently listened to three, quote, national prominent people who talked about they subscribe to their own truth. They subscribe to their own truth. I said we got to be careful we don't become arrogant. Because right away I assumed that their truth wasn't my truth, therefore their truth wasn't the truth. But I would like to point out that two of them have been busted for scandals and the other one really is just simply wrong. All right? Don't get too arrogant in it because you know what? When you look in the mirror, when I look in the mirror, I see a sinner. And don't look for loopholes in what God expects. Going back to that setting aside money, it was set aside. See, here's the purpose, the little loophole. If I set it aside, I don't have to help my parents, but I can also become wealthy until I have to turn it over to the temple, which was usually at death. My parents could be in desperate need, but I could keep the money and make a profit. They found a loophole in the law and exploited it. It was a scam, just a scam to avoid responsibility. They literally rendered the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, meaningless. God's word, as revealed, is to be honored by God's people. God said it, it settles it. Believe it. There's no getting around the commandments that were fulfilled by Jesus. He said that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he also took, Jesus took offense at anyone who tried to impose their opinions on another. Opinions are different than truth. Truth is immovable because it's scriptural. Opinions are movable because they don't involve scripture. For example, my rant about sweet potatoes. That is my opinion, because the scripture doesn't say thou shalt not eat them. Although I think Moses messed up there, but that's beside the point. That goes under the category of opinion. When it comes to scripture, we are to be unmovable. But Jesus takes great offense and when somebody tries to impose their opinions on others. And it's one of the things the Pharisees did and throughout the history of the church. The Pharisees had to be careful and the church has to be careful that we don't impose our opinions as teachings of the church. You may have heard it said, what did Jesus say about a topic? Well, when you start looking at what Jesus had to say about various topics, don't take offense at it. Instead, look at it and say, I'm now standing informed of his will. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.